Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Change Your Mind podcast, where we explore personal development, spirituality, and science. I'm your host, Chris Ashley. I'm incredibly excited for my guest today. Her name's Crystal. She's awesome. We're in the same network. I'm excited to just learn a lot from her myself. So selfishly, I'm just excited for this conversation, and you get to just eavesdrop and get all these gold nuggets that I know I'm going to get to. Couple quick announcements. Head over to the links in the show notes. As always, you'll find ways to connect with me on social media, to connect with my amazing guest. You'll find ways to sponsor the podcast. You'll find links for my book, Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality. It was endorsed by three people from the film The Secret: Michael Beckwith, Bob Doyle, Marcy Shimoff. It was endorsed by John Gray, Anita Morjani, Bob Frissell, lots of people. What else? Oh yeah, links to coaching, courses, free downloads. There's just like a wealth of information there, so go check it out. And as always, this podcast is part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network. We're doing massive things in personal development, and I have my fellow LA Tribune trainer here with me, so we're going to learn a lot. What if the one thing keeping you stuck is the way you think? Welcome to Change Your Mind with Chris Ashley, the podcast where science meets spirituality and mindset becomes your most powerful tool for transformation. I'm Chris Ashley, author of Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality, trainer, speaker, and lifelong seeker. For years, I battled trauma, depression, anger, chronic illness, low self-worth, and the weight of old stories. Until I discovered how to rewire my mind, reconnect with my divine nature, and consciously create a new reality from the inside out. This show is here to help you do the same. Each week, we explore the intersection of personal development, spirituality, and science, diving into topics like healing, emotional mastery, entrepreneurship, resilience, and the quantum nature of reality. You'll hear powerful stories, gain practical tools, and real conversations that will help you change your perspective, get unshakable confidence, and live the vision your soul has always known is possible. Whether you're navigating a major life shift, building your dream business, or seeking deep healing and alignment, you're in the right place. So if you're ready to break through, take back your power, and create a life on your terms, this is your moment. Let's break free from the patterns that hold us back, awaken to who we truly are, and rise. Your transformation starts now. And I think it's a good time to introduce her. So with me, I have Crystal Chow. So Crystal is a money consciousness coach, a former private banker, and founder of Cosmic Group. With over 13 years of experience managing $250 million in assets for high net worth clients, Crystal now helps women heal their relationship with money, build aligned wealth, and rise into their full power without sacrificing their soul. I love that. Her work blends financial strategy with deep inner work to achieve aligned, lasting wealth. Crystal believes that when a woman heals her money story, she doesn't just change her life, she transforms her lineage, past, and future. She's on a mission to help 1 million women create their million-dollar life. I got goosebumps reading that. Anchored in freedom, purpose, and generational healing. Welcome, Crystal. I'm so happy you're here.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Chris. And it's so worth it, even though like I'm waking up at 4 a.m. for you and for all your guests that's watching. Right, I love it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I forgot to mention, Crystal's a total badass and lives in Singapore. So we're on like mastermind calls and it's like 3 a.m. for her. We're recording at like 1 my time, 4 for her. So I'm just so inspired. And I see you like driving around your cute little daughter and you've got a lot going on.
Yeah. But she's the main motivation for me to actually want to do my work, change like generationally, because I feel like, yeah, like our kids are, like, I don't know, at least for my daughter, once I have her, I started really to look things beyond the surface level. And I realized, like, you know, even for topics like money, it's really beyond the surface. And it's really not about the money. It's about, like, the deeper work, the stories and everything that is passed down generationally. And as mothers, what can we do differently to not just change ourselves, but to actually heal the next generations? And through them, actually, even by doing something differently, I realized that my mother is actually healed because I changed the way I parent my daughter, reparent myself, and then through that, I actually healed her.
Indirectly. Amazing. I love that. I love that so much. And there's so much energy healing out there that even talks about exactly what you're saying, that like when we heal, it heals our lineage, which is amazing. I'm excited to like dive into all that, but there's one question that I always start my podcast with, and I want to ask it to you. And that is, what is your origin story? So what put you on this path to helping women heal their relationship with money?
Ah, okay. So this is a really, really great question. So what happened is that like for up to 30 years old, you know, my life on the surface was a great success. You know, I hold a prestigious title. I was earning good income. I got married. And, you know, like I was celebrated. I was perceived as successful. But inside me, I was crumbling. I was numbing my emotions by drinking every day. Like every day I had like tears behind my wine glass. I went home to a place that was really unsafe. And I was really crumbling inside. So back then, my marriage was actually crumbling. And unfortunately, I found out that I was pregnant. And I think that was really heavy for me. I actually did consider aborting my daughter because this idea crossed my mind. I was at a crossroad because I was thinking if I were to actually pursue this pregnancy, there was a high chance that I'm going to actually be doing it alone. And being in Singapore, which is one of the country, like highest cost of living country, like parenting alone, that thought was terrifying. Yeah. And at that point of time, I was also escaping through drinking. So I was like, would it be easier if I have an abortion and resume my life of numbing, of, you know, the surface success? Am I going to be satisfied with that? So through doing a lot of introspection, seeking alternative help, I came to that conclusion that fine, let me just do a calculation to make sure that, okay, if I'm going to do parenting alone, can we still thrive even without contribution from her father? And yeah, okay, so the moment I decided that finances wise everything is in place, let's just proceed and see how things, I'm just hopeful that things will unfold positively. But if it's not, at least we can still continue to thrive. So I decided to proceed with the pregnancy, delivered my daughter, and that was truly life-changing because, although the marriage did not turn out well, but she gave me a really great motivation to continue that, to really stay strong for her, and also a deep reason for doing this healing seriously, because it's through this difficult marriage that I actually took personal development really seriously, finding out what happened, how did I co-create this breakdown, this dynamic. And that was when I realized that if I were to just pursue money without the inner work, I would still feel empty. But if I were to just do the inner work without the foundation of money, it's not going to pay my bills either.
Right.
So that's why even in my work that I decided to do, I realized that while guiding people with just strategy, which is what most money trainers or coaches do, but if they don't talk about the deeper inner work and the inner healing, it's only, there will be a ceiling to it and there will be emptiness. And if I were to just talk about manifestation, law of attraction, but without strategy, that wouldn't exactly be building on a solid foundation. So my work actually integrates these two to help elevate and help really strategize and materialize this true wealth, true lasting wealth for women.
Thank you so much. Yeah, go ahead.
And the essence is actually to simplify, because I realized like being in the financial industry for so long, I've been 10 years in banking and I pivoted into crypto. I realized that the finance world make finance way too complicated than it's supposed to be. So I think what people say about me is that I can actually keep things really simple for them to understand, to make finance, especially for women, not so intimidating for women. So yeah, that's what I do.
Amazing. You're amazing. Thank you for sharing your story. I was like, I don't know if you saw, I was like tearing up when you were talking about like once you had your daughter, everything changed, because I'm like, oh, I know that feeling. And I really appreciated that you said like, okay, let me look at, as I'm healing, let me look at this and how I co-created this situation. Like you took responsibility and accountability for like the part that you played in the role. And I think that that takes a very mature person to do that. And I think a lot of people never get there in this lifetime, right? Because it's so easy to blame other people and circumstances and other things for the challenges that we go through. So how did you kind of arrive at that mindset? What like put you on that path?
Yeah, so it was actually beautiful because, well, I was looking for answers, because sometimes the pain of staying where you are outweighs the pain of the unknown. That was where I started seeking for coaches, for help, to actually figure out, you know, what's causing me to be in such pain, painful situation. So that was where actually a relationship coach gave me that insight that, oh, okay, even though you may have 3%, of co-creating this dynamic, if you acknowledge that 3%, you regain your power. So that gave me the insight, like, wow, okay. And that made me realize, like, okay, what is that 3% that caused the downfall? And that really helped me to regain my power, because, yeah, I realized that it's so important to take responsibility. And sometimes we don't even know about it, because most of the time, as we are being brought up, most people, like you said, right, like, we don't even know our patterns and nobody calls them out. And that was where I realized how important coaching is. And even when I think about in terms of money, which is my strength, it's the same thing. Like, many people complain about how bad their money situation is, but without knowing that they have to actually take responsibility for what leads up to that. Yeah, it's kind of like if you look at a tree, right? Like, when you want to complain about how bad the fruit is or how rotten it is, if we actually only complain and die not, like, you know, try to fix the cosmetics around it, it's never going to work. It's really about, okay, what's wrong beneath? Let's figure that out. Yeah, so I realized, oh, if we take responsibility, it's really like fixing what's happening beneath. And once you change that, you'll be able to actually see it in terms of the tangible result. It may take a little time, but that's going to be lasting.
I love that metaphor. And that totally makes sense. So I guess what is at that root, right? That, to use your metaphor, like, what is the root of money issues that you see a lot of women have?
Okay. So basically, the root is, it's so deep. It's a lot. Like, it's really, yes. Like, if I were to look at it, it's really branched out into so many areas. So a common theme is, for example, the money stories that we tell ourselves. Because sometimes it's so unconscious. Like, your whole family is talking about this. What's so different about it? And we tend to think that everyone else says the same story. But why are they getting a different result? And my family is like this. Right. So usually it's so unconscious and that it seeps in. And we usually wouldn't know unless we are actually put in an environment. Like, for me, I'm so grateful that, you know, I've been a banker. So I have thousands, tens of thousands of money conversations throughout the decade. And that was how I was able to identify through the different stories and patterns when I have this conversation with different people. Yeah, because I did not take on that big role. Right from the start, I started off as a personal banker and rise up. So I could actually see a whole spectrum of how different people with different net worth, what they tell themselves, what their beliefs about money are, and all these unconscious patterns. And I even developed these like 10 different archetypes. I wouldn't even say it's an archetype. I would say it's more of like a money identity.
Okay.
That we will actually change and adapt to at different seasons of our life. And I feel like for that, it's not so much in the lens of scrutiny, but sometimes it's really when you know yourself, you're able to actually be one step ahead and be able to actually, more of like that awareness helps us to actually make some changes in our lifestyle. And even if we don't change immediately, we just be, by just being a little bit more conscious about it, we're able to see, oh, okay, maybe this is where I can improve on. This is where I can maybe reduce some leaks and even be more gentle with ourselves. Because sometimes when a certain pattern arises and we don't really like the results or we don't really like it, we tend to be very critical and we tend to shut down. And then we realize that, oh, I'm not good with money. And then, the negative story comes in. I'm not good at money, so I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to deal with it. So, okay, somebody else deals with it. And it's that loop. But if we realize that, oh, okay, this is fine, because my parents were not educated, or maybe they were not, because school system, it doesn't really empower us to be good with money. I mean, that's not how it's meant to be. Right. So if I'm not good, and if we acknowledge that, we take responsibility that, fine, I'm not taught, but I can learn, the whole narrative change. We'll be in a more empowered place that, okay, there's this knowledge gap, but I know I can catch up with that. I know I can make a difference. That energy and that position and that level of power will be so different from, I don't know, I'm just going to give up. I'm never going to be good at it. So it's very, very different.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have been that person that just like shut down at some point in my life. So I'm like, oh, you said that and like really resonated. Okay, so that left me with a lot of questions. I guess the first one, like, okay, if everyone in our family has the same story that's passed on, have you noticed that the same money issues happen from generation to generation? Like, really?
Of course. And it is not just in terms of money, how they deal with relationship. So most people who actually live unconsciously, live life by this default instead of by design, what happens is that they tend to actually play out the same drama. It's just like you watching a drama. Like, these parents play out this, and then the next generation continue to play out this same drama. Maybe just with a different face, different character, but it's the same storyline.
Yeah.
Different cast.
Totally.
And then it just continues. There may be progression, but it's very marginal and very different. So it really takes someone who says, okay, like, I have enough of this. How can I make it different?
Yeah, you have to be that person that like breaks the generational curse, right?
Yes, yes. And of course, I would still say that, there's a lot to honor them because they did their best based on what they know. But right. Sometimes, especially in the previous generation, information was a lot more restricted. There was an internet, people were maybe not so literate, or they were also in a different time, right? Like, maybe a few generations ago, they were more about survival, as long as, let's just say my grandma. That generation, post-war, they were just for survival. As long as my child don't die, like, they did their best.
Yeah, so that's such a good point.
Yeah. So, what about emotion and everything? Like, yeah, like, just suppress it. Life goes on. Clean up your tears. Don't cry.
It's so true. It's like, for all the problems in the world right now, like, we have it pretty damn good. Mm. Right? Like, yes, there's still horrific things happening, but like overall in like where humanity is, like we're so connected. Like it's pretty peaceful for the most part. I mean, we get to have these conversations like across the globe. I mean, it's pretty amazing. We can like get any book at the snap of fingers, right? So you were talking about how you've seen this whole spectrum of different beliefs kind of matched up with different net worths. So would you mind sharing a couple of those? Like what kind of beliefs do really abundant people have? What kind of beliefs do people struggling with money have?
Yeah. So if I were to talk about the most fundamental, it's really about the narrative that they tell themselves. Like, for example, for people who are struggling, they tend to have more this empowering belief. Like, I'm never going to be good at it. Money is never going to come to me. Mm-hmm. I got to work hard for money. And they tend to have a really negative relationship with money. If you look at it, if you think about money as a person, they should be, if you want to actually have good relationship with your money, meaning like abundant mindset, abundant relationship, it would be more like a co-creating partnership with the money, looking at it as your best friend that you want to co-create. But most people who are struggling, they have a very negative relationship, meaning, I don't want to look at it, I don't want to talk to it. And if you have a friend that you are showing up this way, what happens? Tendency is that your friend will actually be more distant. They wouldn't want to actually co-create anything, like, just get out of my sight. Like,
yeah.
So that's the same thing with money. And basically, to really move towards that, I realized, like, for people really need to flip the whole narrative to say that, okay, I can do it. I mean, the energy of, and ultimately money is just energy. Because if you think about it, let's just say for people who starts to see opportunity, everything that they see becomes opportunity, even during crisis. Just like recently with Trump, with the tariffs and everything, I would say most people will actually look at the negative. But in every crisis, it's going to pull people's net worth further and further apart. The rich actually gets richer because what they see is only opportunity. Wow, yeah. He's doing this. What can I invest? What can I do?
That's what happened during COVID too.
Yeah.
Right? Same. A lot of people freaked out and then select number of people like Jeff Bezos were like, okay, how can I?
His net worth, multiplied. Yeah, but most people, when they have a more disempowering narrative and story, when they see situations like this, the first thing they do, complain, find about it. They use it to paralyze themselves and they're like, okay, I can't do anything. So that's why taking responsibility, that awareness, is really the first key to any shift. Because when you say that, okay, fine, he's already doing this, what can I do? How can I make the best out of this? And when you ask the right question, when we seek to find solution, we will always find it. It may not be immediate, but when we actually look at it in the sense of trying to find answers, what we seek for will always unfold.
Yeah, really well said. And I love that idea of like money is just energy. I had someone else on my show who talked about money, and she was like, I talk to money. I'm like, money, come visit me, or something. Like, she has conversations. So like, okay, money is energy because everything is energy. Like, what do we do with that? How do we work with that?
Yeah. Okay. So this may actually seem a bit woo-woo.
I love woo-woo. Let's do it.
So basically my role is actually to blend in the woo-woo and how to actually make the woo tangible. Because I feel like ultimately we both have, both sides of the brain, left and right. It's not about just talking to one side. It's about two sides, right? So when I say money is energy, what I actually really mean, and actually what most people really mean, is that, okay, think about money. It's actually something that human created. Before money, what happened was people were doing barter trade.
Yep.
Meaning, I have this, you have this, okay, let's exchange. But sometimes I don't really need that right now. Especially, okay, so then people came up with money so that the mode of exchange can be easier. Yeah, but so if you think about it, actually, money is just that thing that you want to exchange. But I'm now changing it into a paper so that I can hold it for me to exchange it into something that I really need in the future.
I never thought about it like that, but you're so right.
Yeah, so it's as simple as that. So sometimes even like it's really like when I say it's energy, because sometimes when we don't get the reward in money, we tend to be like negative about it, that, oh, I'm not getting rewarded. But it's really about seeking, what else did you gain out of it? What else, like for example, okay, if I were to actually put in this effort and I didn't get repaid in money yet. Yeah, it's always about telling yourself like, okay, then how can I seek for something else to be grateful for that I've received in return? And because when we actually start to vibrate and start to operate in this energy of gratitude, we'll be able to attract more opportunities, more aligned opportunities, people into our life, because we're not sending that repelling energy. Because that's why, okay, coming back to the energy, if you think about it, right, like if you have people who is always complaining, sometimes you have like, okay, let's just say one friend, she's always really nice. Like, oh, like, Chris, thank you for doing this for me. You'd be like, oh, like, even though you're not doing much, you'll feel like, next time I want to do something nice for her. But if the other friend, she's always saying like, oh, Chris, like, come on, seriously. Then you'll be feeling like, what? I've done this for you and you don't appreciate. Maybe not anymore. So that's the same for energy and for attracting aligned people. So if you're able to actually, whatever the situation is, still find things to be grateful and be feel good, even though it may not materialize in money right now, the people will still be magnetized and attracted by you and say that, okay, now maybe I can't pay her, but okay, let's see how I can still work with her and give her more opportunity, like, her way, like, when I have. Yeah, so it's always like this. So that's why I feel like money is really energy in terms of the energy that we send out to help us to attract more of what we want eventually.
I love that. You know, I've heard so many people, not so many, but I've had a couple of people on the show who have said similar things, but like the way that you just explained that, I've never heard anyone explain it like that. And it totally makes sense. Like, especially that example you used of like the friend, right? Like, yeah. If you're like, oh, I did so much for you, or I didn't do like that, just that really makes sense.
Yeah. And that's the gap that I see, because most people, when they say money is energy, they are really like the spiritual people, the right people, the personal development. But there is a gap between how do you bring this concept, which is really valid, really right, into the real world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what I actually do best, to actually integrate these universal laws, spiritual concept into reality, so that people can see how do that I apply this. And also, how do I then use that tool to help me co-create this into reality, so that it doesn't just become a fluff concept, or it doesn't become too rigid where it's just strategy, data, number, without the intuition, without that hunch, yeah, and being really forceful, hustle.
Yeah. Okay. So what are the next steps? So like, I saw this TikTok the other day, and I'm just pulling up my phone so I can. It was like, okay, do a challenge. Say this every day. Money comes to me freely and abundantly, and I notice it everywhere, and like notice everything, like including like pennies and stuff. So I'm like trying that out, but I'm sure you have other strategies. So like, if someone's listening, or for me, or whoever, like, in we want to start attracting more money, like, what's a great first step?
Yeah, it's to actually flip the narrative. So like, that affirmation, that is good, but sometimes I feel like when we talk about affirmation, we still need to modify into something that fits our lingo, that fits our what we believe, because this affirmation may be valid to somebody else, but to you, maybe it doesn't really quite vibe, doesn't quite stick to you. So I feel like it's always to find something that aligns with you, but in a positive relationship. So for example, like, maybe I'm a best friend with my money. It may resonate or not, but come up with your own, so that you can actually improve the relationship. Just like how you would actually want to talk to your best friend. Mm.
I like that. That's so true. Like, there's so many times where I hear mantras and I'm like, oh, this doesn't really do anything for me. Yeah.
Talk, for example. And so you realize that, this feels off. This doesn't feel right. So it's really having this as a concept, but not taking it to like, copy and paste it, because it's not yours. So modifying it into something that feels natural to say, that you can believe. Because ultimately, for any affirmation, is for you to not just, it's bringing it from your head to your heart, to your soul, and to yourself. Because when you believe, and when you truly feel it, you will act from that place. But when you just think about it, when it's still in your head, it's something that is very reactive, and something that only when you are clear-headed, then, and when you think about it, then it will happen. And usually that's not too often, because money is a very emotional subject.
Yeah, it is.
And especially when your nervous system doesn't feel safe, when, you know, it kicks into your generational, like, you know, what happens is that we will still tend to react as what we normally do, which is all these old patterns, these unsupportive patterns. Yeah, so that's why we need to actually really speak to ourselves and our soul, so that we can really rewire it deeply. And of course, sometimes it's really difficult to do it on your own because sometimes we just don't see what we don't see. Especially all these old tapes, old recorders that are playing. And if our whole family is playing this same tape, we wouldn't know how broken it is.
Totally. Because you don't know what you don't know.
We don't know what we don't know. And because we get validated, like, oh, she's saying the same thing. They are saying the same thing. I should be fine. Yes. So it's really having, another eye to look at it, who has, you know, like, no, like, for me, that's what I do best. You know, I call out people who, especially I work with a lot of high-achieving women, right? Sometimes in their role, in their rank, they are, like, the bosses. They are in a C-suite level. Nobody really calls out to them to tell them about all these patterns. And
so true.
It's also it's not a right position for them to take advice. So anyway, for me, the only thing that I want to do is to lift them. So by actually calling it out gently, just as a friend, as a supportive, like, co-creator with them, they know that I have the best intention for them. And they are all powerhouses. These people are powerhouses. But sometimes we just don't know what we don't know. And just by having that awareness, just, you know, supporting them in this area, we'll be able, not just lifting them, but lifting everyone else that they impact.
So as a totally. Collective. I mean, like they say, it's like lonely at the top, right? Because it's like people, you have to work with someone who's on your level or above, right? Because it's, totally. So you said something just now or a moment ago that we were talking about in the green room before, and I was like, stop, I want to press record because what you're saying is gold. You said don't push. So because I was like, oh yeah, just push in, and you're like, no, you don't want to push. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that hustle energy that we're talking about, right? So
yeah.
So basically, of course, a certain level of hustle, fighting, and, you know, working hard, that I would say is essential, especially when we are first taking off. Okay, like, we still need to put in effort to actually, you know, get started. Mm-hmm. But when you want to actually, just a curious question, like, when you push and you hustle, do you realize that you actually reach your invisible glass ceiling? Like, no matter how hard you push, it's pretty much there.
Yeah, totally. No, I mean, I've definitely had that feeling before, for sure.
Yeah. So basically, that's what a hustle energy does. I mean, there really would be a ceiling. And really, to transcend that glass ceiling is to flow into that feminine energy to actually attract. Because when you talk about hustle energy, it's very masculine, very forceful.
Mm.
There is a cap to how much you can push. Because think about it. We only have a certain hour of our day, certain energetic output. So hustle energy can only bring us from here to there. But if you want to break through this from here to the next level, to exponential, you think about, like, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, like, they have the same hours as all of us. Do you think they can push harder? How much more can they earn when they just push harder? So it really takes something beyond pushing to actually make that exponential quantum leap of growth. That is really like looking in the opposite direction that we didn't see, to actually have that breakthrough. And most of the time, okay, why hustle energy doesn't work? If I speak to the logical mind, because when you hustle, when we get into that business, there's no room for creativity. No room for looking at things because we are trapped in that energy. So that's why to transcend above that, we need to actually slow down to speed up, make room so that we can start to look at things differently, be creative, and provide solutions that will be able to actually to actually break through that ceiling.
I relate to that so much. It's like, I think you know this, it's like I have childcare like 2 days a week, and it's like I have the podcast, I have my business, I have two TV shows going, and it's like, I just need to get as much done. I have this crazy to-do list, and I've noted, I took all of July off because I'm like, I want to redo my website. I want to like redo some of my funnels. I want to like actually strategize a little bit, and I don't have freaking time because I'm just trying to like get through this crazy to-do list. So I relate to that a lot. There's that like kind of hustle energy, and it's like, there's no room for like any creativity coming in.
Yeah. And that is actually the gap. So basically, it's really important to slow down, to speed up. Because, okay, think about it. When there's no creativity, we become like the machine, the person in that machine that is actually...
Like the hamster wheel.
Yes. And how fast can you outrun that hamster wheel? It's almost never. Because it's meant to trap the hamster there. So yeah. If you actually step back, imagine a hamster stepping back and looking, oh yeah, this cage is like this. How am I going to like plan my route? He realized that, oh, maybe he's able to find a solution to optimize his energy.
Yeah, totally.
Get what he wants. So it's the same rationale. Yeah, look at a different direction. And sometimes it's really coming into alignment, because that business, that hustle energy, it rewards us for being busy. But being busy doesn't mean productive. So that busyness is something that is also kind of like a false construct that I would say the more of like the factory age sold us the idea that we have to all get busy.
Yeah. It's true.
The manufacturing age. Yeah. But now, I mean, being in a technological age is a very different time, different era, especially, you know, so I think busyness is something that is way too overrated. And if we just slow down, we'll be able to actually plan better, to actually find areas of leak, find areas of potential growth, and be able to better optimize how the energy that we put in, the effort that we put in to get an exponential result.
I love that. Yeah, thanks so much for walking through that. I love the hamster metaphor.
You'll be even more magnetic to attract, because when you're hustling, the energy that we are in, right, is chasing. I gotta chase. And you think about it, when you chase something, naturally what happens? It runs away.
So true. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but when you just be there, just being, and you attract, but you just send out that energy, okay, this is me, this is what I'm looking for, then the really aligned opportunity will come. And you realize, oh, it doesn't mean that you don't have to put in effort. You still have to put in effort, but it's very strategic. This is what I want to attract. This is what I put out there. This is what my intention is, what I want to do, how I want to do. Then align, the people who are aligned will come. And people who are not, actually, this acts as a filter, so it repels. So in a way, it's optimized. Versus hustle energy, whether it's aligned or not, I just chase, make sure it happens. I just want to make sure that I see it the way I want to see it. But sometimes the funny thing is that you don't know what the universe has for you. And sometimes the hustle energy is so fixated in how I want to see how the result. That means we are, like I used to be that too. I was a big hustler. So if the result doesn't show up this way, it's not what I want. It's not a result. I am not grateful for it. It has to show up this specific way. But sometimes you realize, like, at least I realize that if I'm too forceful, I miss out all the other opportunity it is actually even better. But I just couldn't see because I was so fixated, kind of like the horse, right? Like,
yeah, with the blinders, totally.
Yeah, the blinders. I can only see this and I only want to see this. Sometimes the universe will say, fine, you're so fixated, go ahead, you see this. But when you receive it, it's like, oh my God, like, is this what I really asked for? And I don't really want this. It's not. So even like the past few years, I learned a lot about surrender, and I realized, oh wow, when you just set the intention, you do work, you do what you need to do, and surrender the outcome in terms of letting the universe really send you what it thinks is best for you. Sometimes it actually becomes, it is even better than you can imagine, versus when I was so back then when I was so fixated, it has to be this way. May not be what you order may not be what you really what is really best.
Totally. It's that idea of like, don't get attached to the how. And I feel like money is such a great example of people getting so fixated. They're like, I want $1 million in my bank account. It's like, well, do you want 1 million pieces of paper, or do you want financial freedom, or do you want to like be able to travel with your kids, or like your calendar? So
even for what I actually do, I feel like what I want to promise people is the $1 million life, not just the $1 million in the bank account. Because how many millionaires do we see that are so miserable? Because they actually lose the essence of what they were chasing for. Maybe at the beginning, they wanted to have a loving family, to have a loving family. But they were so busy chasing that dollar that they forgot about it. And sometimes at the cost of the loving family.
Right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, totally. It's like someone can be like rich on paper and like bankrupt in areas of their life.
What if you can rewrite your narrative to be rich in both areas, both on paper, materially, and also on a soul level where, if my intention is to have a loving family, I still get that. And it's a co-creation, not at the expense or sacrifice of one another.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
So you mentioned earlier that you've come up with 10 different identities.
Yes.
I'd love for you to just run through those, because I've just been curious since you said it. Grab your stuff.
I'm intending to do a quiz, but I'm still building it.
That'd be so fun to do. Let me know when you have it.
Yeah, I'll let you know. So right now I'm just sharing videos to talk about the different archetypes. So actually I built this.
So cool.
I have to share about the 10 different
Archetypes. Is that all type in there? That's so cool.
No, I've written. So the first one is actually an avoider archetype or identity. Hoarder. The second one is a dependent dreamer. The third one is a money hoarder. Frugal worrier. That's the fourth one. The fifth one is an overspender. Sixth one is a leaker, money leaker. The seventh is an overgiver. 8 is a comparer, 9 is a self-saboteur, and the 10 is a money chaser.
Can you be multiple at once? Because I'm some of those hit hard.
What I decide to build is like a spider diagram. Is it what it's called? So,
like a spider web?
Yeah, kind of like a web. So basically we can be a few, because sometimes in different seasons of our life, we will be stronger in some area. So it's really just to identify, where are we now? And how can we transcend above it? Mm. And sometimes they are actually unconscious patterns, either generation, or sometimes it's adaptive patterns. But when we know, we can actually make some adjustment to it. And also know that even if I'm, let's say, a money chaser, for example, the hustling mindset, it's nothing wrong with that. But if this hustling mindset, I got to know that, what is causing it? And then how I can actually transcend above it. Yeah, so it's really that awareness that helps to make the shift. Mm.
Very cool. So did you lay it out that way on purpose? Like, are there opposites of each other?
No, not really, no.
Okay.
Not really.
Just curious. So what about if someone has the mindset, right? They've done the work, they have the mindset, they're like, I believe money is energy. They don't have any negative money stories, or if they have, they've overcome it. They're taking action on like what they're passionate about, and the money just hasn't come yet. Like, what do you have to say to those people? Because I have a lot of listeners like that. Like, I've been in that position many times. So what's your advice for that?
It will come. I just have that knowing that it will come. Sometimes it may not come when you want it. Yeah, which is sometimes that back to that fixation, right? Like, I want it now. But sometimes even when we order, I know that these days, like, kids are brought up in a, like, we are also brought up in a really immediate gratification. It's the immediate gratification, right? Like, I order this, it has to come now. Like, my daughter, like, YouTube, like, the advertisement, I want to skip it now, press skip now. Like, no, it doesn't work this way. Like, sometimes...
You have to wait 20 seconds, sorry.
Yes. So it's really giving it some time and just continue to have this knowing that it will come. Mm-hmm. As long as you actually tune into yourself to take that aligned action towards your goal. Yeah, so just keep showing up. It will come.
Yeah, that's great advice. For me, when that happened was when I left my job in tech to start pursuing my dreams of this. And it's a really scary place to be like, I am dependent on this new company working, and I have all these things and I'm taking these steps, but it hasn't come yet. But there's also that sense of like, I couldn't stay at the last job because it wasn't aligned with my soul and I was feeling miserable. Like you mentioned, like feeling miserable. So in that instance, like, do people same thing? They just like keep showing up and just keep trusting and keep taking their aligned action.
And also when I talk about aligned action, it's really something that is out of, not so much out of desperation. Yeah, because sometimes when people say it's aligned, it's the hate that is talking. That this gives me the most money, this gives me an instant reward. So that is also sometimes identifying, which is why some support is needed also. Because sometimes when we are wrapped up in our own story, we really don't know. So sometimes for people who are also not so attuned, like even like for me, I am doing the inner work. For me to even grow to the next level, right? Like, I also need some external help to help me to call out patterns that I can't see for myself. So, because there will be resistance. So when you talk about aligned action, it's really the path of less resistance, of really where you really feel good, not because of out of desperation. So I think the first essential part is really to check in whether this is really aligned. Yeah, which sometimes we may have issue identifying if this is aligned too. So yeah, when you fix that and when you know that truly, truly it's aligned from a place of not from a place of lack, but from a place of you truly wanting to do, whether you're being paid or not, when you follow that feeling, follow that path, you will just know that the money will come.
My husband's grandpa used to say the same thing: do what you love and the money will come. It kind of makes me think of Bashar. I don't know if you've ever like watched Bashar clips on TikTok or anything, but like his whole thing is like follow your excitement.
And I believe in that. And not just Bashar who talks about it, Abraham Hicks, the law of attraction. It's all these are actually, if you think about it, they are universal law. It's just that we are, especially I feel like in the manufacturing age, we're told to actually really be using our left brain. We actually lose touch with that good feeling with all the suppression and everything. So it's really coming back to that good feeling, trusting ourselves. Because sometimes the worst thing is that we don't trust ourselves because we were never taught to lean in. We were always taught to suppress, don't feel this, just follow the rest. It's like, what?
Yeah, it's like the opposite of what you should do.
Yes, and we don't know if we can really believe in ourselves.
Oh my gosh, I've like everything you've said today has just been like so much gold. I'm gonna have to go back and listen to this again because there's just been so many amazing pieces of advice. But is there anything we haven't touched on yet that you really want to get out there to people?
Is there anything that you really want to know? Because I have a lot to share.
I don't know what I don't know. Like, what else do you have to share that you really want to talk about? We've got like 10 minutes left. I want to make sure that like whatever your expertise is getting out there into the world and people get to benefit from it.
Okay, so I think one last piece is really to believe in yourself, because once we are able to, like, no matter what kind of like how financially illiterate you think you are, I feel like once you start to change the story, that means I can do this. I can learn this. This is going to be easy for me. Your relationship with money, that is it will immediately change. Like this is one piece of advice. It's really simple, really actionable, and you can start telling yourself right now. And because think about it, same thing as we go to school, right? If we go to school, before going, we think that, this is going to be so difficult. Before I listen to it, we shut down. There's nothing that's going to come true, even if it's going to be easy. But if we go in and we say that, it's going to be easy, nothing, it's a piece of cake, the reality will always show us what we want to believe in.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful. And I feel like that advice transcends like even just money. Like you can put that on any area of your life, relationships, health, anything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Awesome. You're amazing. Thank you so much for all your insights. I'm sure listeners want to know where they can find you, where they can connect with you, how they can work with you. So if you want to just take a moment and let people know.
Yeah. So you can follow me on Instagram, my across social media platform. My handle is Shining with Crystal, because I believe all you ladies, or all of us, we deserve to shine. And actually, shine is my framework, which I will break down more in my social media, so you can see how I actually work, what is my thought process, what are my framework. And I feel like we should never let anyone dim our sparkle, because
everyone, I love that so much.
You know, everyone deserves to shine, and sometimes we just don't know, right? You know, like even for diamonds, for crystals, we are all wrapped up in like all the dirt and gunk and everything. It's really just to peel off that layer and really allow us to shine. And when we step up to shine, this, the light that we illuminate can actually inspire and impact so many more. And as a collective, we can all rise together.
Beautiful. Well, you're definitely shining. I love that it goes with your name. It's just, it's beautiful. It's perfect. You're awesome. If this resonated with you and you're listening, send it to someone that you think might love it. Like, comment, share, subscribe, all the things. Let's help lift humanity up. And thank you all so much. I'll see you next week. Have a beautiful rest of your day.